B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
6 seconds left. 5 now. And it'll come back. And so...
But you still, I mean...
I hate to say it, but we're going to Boston, baby.
Yep. Didn't even book the hotel.
Get on that, because you're not staying with me.
Oh, no worries there.
One o'clock hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Billy Jaffe is with us from Nesson. Hi, Billy.
Hi, Beetle. What's up?
How you doing, Bill?
Let's talk about the referees tonight. Two veteran guys, been around for a long time. Wes McCauley, Kelly Sutherland are the two guys.
Yep.
One of these two guys from Toronto, by the way. McCauley, Toronto guy.
But lives in the Northeast right now.
His rooting interests are probably in Toronto. That's all.
Oh, my God.
But what does it mean?
Oh, my God.
What does it mean that these guys are veteran guys and have been around for a long time?
These are two of the best. There's a group of about four guys that I consider the best, and these are two of the four. And it says that the NHL respects the hell out of this game, and while there's a lot of young officials that are starting to begin the process, or if we're from Canada, the process of getting themselves up to speed, to NHL speed, NHL intensity, NHL Game 7 level intensity, that this game still has a ton of respect given by the league and by the head of officials and hockey ops. And so it says that, I think, look, these guys both want to let them play. You know, Wes McCauley's a former player himself. He wants to let them play. And, you know, Kelly Sutherland's been doing this game forever. So they don't want to be the difference. They just want to let the game go.
All right, so if that happens, though, doesn't that benefit Toronto? Because the Bruins have been so successful in scoring on the power play in this series.
But I mean, as long as it's, you know, as long as it's real flow, the Bruins are good with it. You don't want the ticky-tack crap called, because then that doesn't help the Bruins either, who are a more physical team, Beetle. And while, yes, their power play has been excellent in the series, especially in the wins. They're 5-for-8 in the games that they've won.
That's how they've won games to this point.
Well, yeah, no question. Especially game 6, right? I mean, they really utilized that for the impetus to get things going. I thought they used it as the right accompaniment, so to speak, to the rest of their games and the other two that they won. But as a player, you just want to know the line. You just want to know what's the line and be consistent and stay at that line, meaning what is and what isn't going to be a call. I think these guys will let them play. It's not that they won't call penalties. I just think that they're going to, hopefully these guys are so experienced that they'll call the right ones.
Well, there's also this angle to it, too, if you want some more statistics on them. The average home winning percentage in the NHL this season, 57%. And where these guys rank, Sutherland 22nd in home winning percentage among refs, and McCauley is 24th among referees in the NHL this year. They're road refs is what they are, Billy. Road refs.
I'm just going to laugh. Just going to laugh.
All right.
Okay.
Fine.
Are you surprised there's so much bitching about the ice? I know Marshawn brought it up first, and now you get a counter.
Listen, am I surprised? I'm not surprised that it's become a focal point, because you're at 2 weeks into a series, and everybody, especially the huge gaggle of media covering this series, there's a huge contingent from Toronto. There's a big contingent from Boston. They're always looking for stuff to talk about. And it was noticeable last game. You can't hide it. I mean, it was a fact in game 5 that the ice wasn't great. It's just something, you know, so it's just something to talk about. And that's what it is. And when a player brings it up after a team's victory, you know, he wasn't using it as an excuse in game 6. He was talking about what happened in the previous game. It becomes a story. So given the amount, the multitude of people covering this series, I'm not surprised, because they're always desperate for things to talk about, Zoe.
All right, off that, though, then, which team of the two do you think had the most trouble sleeping last night? You know, you listen to the final call of the Toronto broadcast, like, they're like, oh, we got to go to Boston.
I would say, Yeah, I mean, look,
it's got to be them, right?
It's got to be Toronto. And in theory, I mean, they got a lot of young Bucks, so maybe the Bucks still sleep no matter what. You know, I talked to a few Bruins guys. Nobody seemed overly jitterish this morning after skate at Warrior Arena. You know, Brandon Carlo admitted that he, you know, had a little bit harder time falling asleep. This is his first game seven. Let's not forget that the Bruins have a ton of experience and only have two or three guys, Carlo being one of them. I think Nordstrom's the other. And there's one other that haven't played in the game seven. Meanwhile, Toronto, a lot of these guys experienced it last year. But I still think the pressure when it's all said and done, the eyes of a country, so to speak, are all on the Toronto Maple Leafs. And they were the team that had the lead that went home in game six and couldn't put it away.
Talking with Billy Jaffe and Nesson as we get ready for game seven, if there's one thing you would say this game will be decided on, what is it?
Well, I would say for the Bruins, I would say if they I think they're starting to wear down Toronto a bit when they play. Not just like the way we saw him in game two. Game two, I think, has been accurately described, Beetle, as a response game, and the Bruins were at such a high physical level, you can't keep that up for an entire series. But game six was that type of way where I think they started to tire out Toronto in the offensive zone. I think for the Bruins, it comes down to, can they break the puck out cleanly? If they can break it out cleanly and then don't mess around with it in the neutral zone, get it in the offensive zone, I think that they, and they get zone time, I think they win. Because I think they're starting to wear down Toronto just a bit. Just a little bit. And that, you know, there's some guys that don't love getting hit on that team. The D crew is not as deep. And I just think that you can start talking to the players a little bit. They're starting to feel like if we self-inflict wounds like they did in a few of those games, they're in trouble. Because then that opens up ice for Toronto. Shrink the ice on them. Don't mess around with the puck. I think you wear down Toronto.
I was going to ask you about that, Billy, because it seemed like some of those hits were coming in both ends. The ones that you had talked about the last time we talked to you about, especially the Toronto forwards, and it's like, or even the defensemen, like I said, both ends, where it's like, God, I got to go get this puck again down there. And the last time I did that, it wasn't any fun.
And and it just becomes that repetitive nature of having to go do it and do it, and they're thinking about it. But again, it's not about the big hit. It's about the cumulative effect of it. And the Bruins, when they forechecked, you notice the Bruins become, and we were talking about on the show, the Bruins become a faster team when they play their style, meaning when they're not having to react, when they're initiating, they become a faster team. This team had to change its MO over the last couple of years, and they did it starting last year to become faster. But I would still not call the Bruins a speed demon team. Toronto, give them open ice, they're speedy, real speedy, and it becomes a brutally tough matchup for the Boston Bruins. However, shrink the zone on them a bit, and don't turn the puck. There's been a common theme, Beetle, in the neutral zone, in Hardian zone. Common theme. Bruins mess around with the puck, don't get it deep. It becomes too much open ice, and they end up having trouble in those games where they lost.
How do you think the goaltending has been from the Bruins' perspective in this series?
I think goaltending for the Bruins and for the Leafs have been good, very good. You know, Freddie Anderson plays a different style than Tuukka Rask. I think Tuukka has been very good in this series. I don't look at anything that says that he has underperformed. He's been, you know, he played pretty well the other night afternoon. In Toronto, he made some pretty good saves, especially in those first 7 minutes. Toronto gets up a goal. Toronto is the one thing that Toronto is consistently doing in front of Tuukka that the Bruins are not doing in front of Freddie Anderson is getting bodies there. They're going low to high, meaning bring the puck in, bring it back. That's why like Morgan Rielly's been excellent. Those are tough plays for goaltenders to make, especially with numerous bodies in front of the net. Yes, they scored a length goal on him when to get down or to get up 1-0, but then the Bruins came back after that Marchand goal to tie things up. I think he's been good, Beetle. I do. I think he's been good to very good at times. But just like Freddie Anderson, there's enormous pressure on him tonight.
Who wins?
Bruins.
Good.
You got a score on that?
5-2?
Throw a number on that?
Beetle says overtime.
I go 3-2 overtime.
I say 5-2.
5-2. That's going to be 5-2. Would be with a couple of empty netters, at least one in there. I like this. I like the. I'm more in the 3-2. I'm in the 4-2 range. I'll go 4-2, maybe 4. Look, I'll finish with this. I'm so curious to see what they're going to see on matchups, fellas. So curious. And if that Corrali line, which was so damn good last game, if you're a Bruins fan, you hope this is the case. If they're really good, and you can get them against, let's say, the Matthews line. And then you see if the Bergeron takes on Tavares line right there, I think you have great mismatch on the third and potentially fourth line, whether you want to call it, you know, Krejci and the Coyle line, those other matchups, I think that could play big into the Bruins' favor. I do. They got to get there. They need that fourth line to be as good, if not better, than they were in Toronto the other day.
All right. Appreciate the time, Billy, as always. We'll be seeing you tonight on television, right?
Gentlemen, 6 o'clock on this, and can't wait. Always a fun day. Great being out with you guys.
See you, Billy.
Thanks, Billy. That's Billy Jaffe on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Getting ready for tonight's Game 7 between the Bruins and the Maple Leafs. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls. Also, got some possible news on the Patriots front. An option at tight end? Question mark? We'll tell you the name of a veteran who may be available. Also, Patrick Peterson may be out in Arizona. Cardinals may be moving on from him. We'll explain.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
That there's a mama joke. More remember the Titans, Jim. No
matter. You got me hooked now after earlier.
Yeah. Petey, how many feet in your mouth?
There's a former Patriot who's thinking about not retiring, if that makes sense. Longtime NFL tight end, Benjamin Watson, had said he was retiring at the end of last season, that he was done. According to Adam Schefter, first to report, well, he's thinking about playing again. He's 38 years old. He was pretty much a backup player last year. As we know, he spent a decent amount of time here with the Patriots. That's where he started his career. But it's also the type of guy you could bring in for a limited role. Good leader, good veteran guy.
Yeah, great leader.
Also,
great guy.
Someone who's very close with Tom Brady, correct?
Yes.
Brady had a really good relationship.
Institutional knowledge of the system, ran Sean Payton's offense, you know, play with Drew Brees, productive, you know, prolific passing type offense where, you know, spacing will be at a premium for him. But can he give you what Dwayne Allen gave you last year? Did he lose that much blocking over the years? I don't think so.
As Adam Schefter wrote,
great type of signing.
He wrote this going back 3 days. This was over the weekend. Saturday, he tweeted this. Watson is currently focused on welcoming twins next week. But after their arrival,
you know that is, buddy.
After their arrival, let me fill in the blank how I would report this. He's going to want to run away from his home, and he is absolutely coming back to the NFL. No, he writes, he may be open to coming back for the right situation. And so I think if he's limiting himself to good situations, is New England considered a good situation? For a lot of reasons, I think it would be.
You would think so, yes.
And the Patriots are sort of short on tight ends.
Yeah, you need bodies at that position. I'd say that's good. I mean, I don't consider signing him to be a priority, meaning he'd be the one guy. God, no. I think that's a good, dependable type backup, a pro. You know? If you think Brian Hoyer's good enough to be the backup to Tom Brady, you should be able to think that this guy would be the backup to whoever your tight end's going to be. And hopefully it'll be one of those rookies. Hopefully get up there and get one of those
rookies. Well, it also sort of directly correlates to if they draft a tight end, right?
Right.
Who better to mentor a tight end than a guy who has, you know,
many years
of experience and also is looking to sort of wind down his career. He's already said he's retired. He would technically be, or maybe not technically, but would be unretiring, so to speak.
Well, you got, you had Algie Crumpler, you know, sort of to mentor Gronk and Hernandez there. So,
all right. So meanwhile, Patrick Peterson may be out in Arizona. According to Antonio Brown's Twitter account,
this guy.
I mean, Good luck, Raiders.
He's breaking news now. Good.
Have fun with this guy.
What does Antonio Brown have?
Well, he's launching his media career through his Twitter account, but what he said on his Twitter account today is that Patrick Peterson was going to the Chiefs. He just wrote, oh, wait, this is...
Yeah.
It's not Antonio Brown.
That was Antonio Brown. No, yeah, Pro Football Talk had it.
It's Antonio Bryant.
Antonio Bryant, yes.
Sorry.
But he's also reported that the Cardinals are not taking Kyler Murray. He's actually reporting sources inside the organization.
Well, this changes then. Antonio Bryant said, wow, Patrick Peterson to the Chiefs. And then he tweeted again, my bad, I got told a lie, and then I ran with it. But then according to other posts, Patrick Peterson has put up weird posts in the last few days on social media, on Instagram, with a picture of a bunch of former players.
Hasn't this been going on for a while here?
Pro Football Talk said somebody told him he's not going anywhere, and somebody told him there's something cooking. And Therese Paylor, who is a longtime Kansas City writer, who I think writes for a national source now, said that there's something to it.
So he could be out of there.
Unless the same source is going around trying to tell all these people there's something going on and it's false.
Well, Patrick Peterson had a post that he put up 4 hours ago that says, my boys told me to watch out for the snakes in the long grass. And it's a picture of him and a bunch of it's him on the bench during a game with a bunch of guys who are no longer on the team with him. As in, he could soon be joining those guys, not as a member of the Cardinals.
Unless you're laid there in the grass all coiled up and hissing.
And his bio does not say anywhere Arizona Cardinals, right?
From what I saw earlier. So in that picture, Justin Bethel, who's with the Ravens, Tyrann Mathieu, who as we know is with the Chiefs now. So maybe
there's something
to it. Maybe he gets traded. I don't think, you know, maybe he gets cut. I don't know. I don't know what happens.
Wasn't there rumors going back that he was going to get traded midseason?
I don't know why.
Jim, wasn't there rumors of him flying around and he had to come out and make a statement on it? The Arizona Cardinals did too.
I don't know why they would ever consider cutting him. He's definitely worth a lot in a trade. He's got a contract that I think is pretty good, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's one of your better cover corners over.
No, I'm talking about his contract.
It's like 11 a year. I think Gilmore signed for 13 a year. I think he was 11.
11 a year.
Gilmore.
That's pretty good. That's a good deal.
Yeah.
Tons of teams would trade for that guy.
It would make sense that the Chiefs are going after him. Chiefs, lost a couple guys on defense and need to bolster that.
Something to keep an eye on.
Mm.
Could be moving.
Yeah, where there's smoke, there's fire with that
stuff. I'd jump in on that. Would you get in on that?
Peterson? Him and Gilmore? Yeah. They don't have the money for it.
No, they don't. Nope. But
I got 12 draft picks.
I'd be in on that, though. I'd be poking around.
2 years, base salary is 11 and then 12.
Oh, my God. What a bargain.
About a little more than Logan Ryan money.
Good kick returner, too.
Terrific. Yep. He's terrific in that role.
Takes care of your Cordarrelle Patterson thing.
Scott is in Quincy today. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys. How you doing today? Quickly, I just wanted to say, Crowley being back is huge for us, and I don't know what Cassidy has for Nordstrom, but he absolutely cannot be in the lineup tonight. He's been there all year. I think he made Backus in this game over Coleman, Nordstrom, one of the two. And it worries me a little bit. I don't think sports are fixed or anything, but it scares me with not a single Canadian team coming out of the first round of the playoffs. And just want to see what you think about Backus over Nordstrom or Coleman. Thanks, guys.
Backus type of game 7? Like, what's the coach's gut?
If the penalties are off and you want to beat the crap out of them, if that's your plan, then I would say he's got to be in. That's what Jaffe is saying. Well, if the penalties are sort of, non-existent in this game.
That's what Beers was looking for, too.
My issue there was, what if there are no power plays for the Bruins? They've used the power play to their advantage.
Right.
He said, well, what if there's no power plays because they're not calling penalties and you're the more physical team?
Mm.
Can sort of impose your will on them. Well, you would want to do that with David Backus.
Yeah, I would say Backus would be in.
Yeah,
it's kind of one of those games, too. You go with your gut. What's it telling you? Yeah. We're at home.
So he's also worried about the conspiracy that no other Canadian teams have made it through and they need to keep a Canadian team in there?
No.
No, you don't think that's
possible? I don't think there's a conspiracy for that.
I don't know. I don't think that the NHL takes it to that degree the way the...
I think it'd be hard to, right? Unless you got an in with the goalie.
To what end?
Maybe you want to let one in a little. I'll slip something for you.
Well, exactly. I mean, seriously, because it's going to help the ratings? No.
They control puck.
What is all of Canada going to boycott the NHL next year if they don't have a Canadian team in the playoffs after round one?
Yeah, not let your kids play? Yeah,
no.
You're not going to let your kids play the sport?
No. I mean, we try and make cases for this when it gets down to, like, conference games. When you're down in the Final Four and it's like, okay, you know what would the league want or wish for in this particular instance? But fact is, it so rarely ever matters. If that were actually, I just don't see it benefiting anyone to the point where they would do anything calls wise to keep a Canadian team in there. It doesn't make any sense. No.
Just looking at where the guys are from. There's two. There's a linesman in this game who's also from the Toronto area.
Who said Northeast?
Two Toronto guys. I'm just taking a look.
Okay, Beetle.
Okay. That's all the NHL can do.
Beetle. Okay.
When you say what can they do, they can put the people in place that they think, if they know that they have two road referees, they can put those guys in place and then just let the game happen and just play the percentages, I guess, if they really want Toronto to win. They're not going to tell the guys, hey, you need to call these penalties. They're just going to put them in the place and let the game happen.
Okay, but why would the NHL want Toronto to win?
It's the NHL headquarters in Toronto, right?
New York. To keep a Canadian team in, keep the country engaged. I have no idea.
Book more hotels.
No idea.
More flights.
The NHL going to make more in ad revenue from a big, like a storied U.S. franchise making it in there or making money off of Canadian television from Toronto.
They make more money on American television than they do Canadian.
I think so.
By a lot.
I would think so.
So you get two broadcasts tonight.
I mean,
too,
the answer to all these questions at the end of the day is like money. It's like, okay, then why'd they be doing it? For ratings, which equal money. So you got to convince me that somehow having any Canadian team in there is going to be better than a large market U.S. team.
I got an email here from Phil in Alabama, by the way, about Ben Watson. Forgot about this. We all forgot about this. Hey, Beetle, didn't Watson make critical comments on Instagram about Robert Kraft's situation back when Easterby was leaving the team?
Oh, boy.
Do you remember that?
That's right.
Easterby retweeted him. That's what happened. He says, it may not have been overt, but I recall you boys talking about this. He says, I don't know if Kraft would let Bill sign him after that or if he'd even be willing to join the Patriots again. Best, Phil in Alabama. I forgot about that. Forgot about that little
He's Walter Payton Man of the Year.
So you had something to say about this when it all happened.
See, that's the thing, too. You'd say, well, he's too old. He's 38. Look at Jason Witten coming out of retirement. If you still think Witten can play, you still think this guy can play a little bit, too. I think he works at it. He works hard. Guy's in shape. He's got a good head on him. That may hold it back, though.
When the Kraft news broke, Easterby had retweeted former Pats tight end Ben Watson's missive on the evils of human trafficking. Here's what he texted out and then tweeted. Be appalled but not surprised. Human trafficking is a $150 billion industry. Sexual exploitation and sex trafficking are not simply horrific crimes that occur over there in a faraway land, but are an entrenched evil demanded, nurtured, enabled, and protected by the appetites and power of a family, friends, and coworkers right here. Its roots run much deeper than a famous name or headline, no matter the perpetrator. Human dignity, truth, and justice.
Wow. We've got a breaking news story in the NFL. There's a trade that's going down.
Oh.
Ian Rappaport says the Seahawks and Chiefs are deep in talks on a trade to send star Frank Clark, who's franchised currently, 13 sacks last season, and the compensation would be a first rounder this draft, a second rounder next year,
wow,
a swap of mid-round picks to complete it. The franchise tag player and the Chiefs must hammer out a deal. So the deal's done. They now need Frank Clark to agree to go to the Kansas City Chiefs. That's of interest to us, with the Chiefs being one of the other good teams in the AFC.
Chiefs are trying to fix stuff that they lost. Yeah, Justin Houston. Yeah.
And they're about to get younger and better. I mean, just based on age and where those guys are at in their careers.
Traded D4 to the 49ers. So.
Yep.
Frank Clark could be going to Kansas City. Hardy's got the headlines. One more segment of your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I don't don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Big trouble. Big trouble, Hardy.
All right, you're in a little bit of trouble. I'm in a lot of trouble. Sorry, Jim.
It's okay. You and Tom scrambling out of the bathroom last minute there.
The hell are you two doing?
Just hanging out. Time and temperature is brought to you by CIBC Commercial Bank in 53 degrees.
Massaging Tom's neck.
153.
Getting him loose so he can follow the puck tonight when he watches the game.
CIBC Commercial Banking. Bank that investment relationships.
Be able to move left or right.
Because a committed banking partnership is the first step to growing your business financial story. CIBC Bank USA.
What's it feel like out, though? Like, what
real time? It doesn't feel anything like 53. I can guarantee you that.
Feels like 45, doesn't it?
45 waiting for the bus stop.
That trade we told you about in the NFL went through.
Oh, it did?
Yep.
Wow.
Done deal. Done deal.
Hey, and that's it's part of the Russell Wilson thing, too. You start having to pay guys and guaranteed $70 million in 2 years. It's, you lose players like that. You know, and they're going through that. They've rebuilt that defense pretty good up in Seattle, though. Well, they'll be fine.
They're losing a piece of it.
Yeah, they are. Chiefs got better. Chiefs got better on defense right there. Like you said earlier, before the break there, and they're young. This isn't like you got the aging Houston and D Ford there. So
617-779-0985. Obviously, we're getting ready for game 7 tonight.
Yeah.
At the Garden. Wondering what the ice will be like. Hopefully, it's in good shape.
Yeah, big topic, ice.
Big topic over there today. We heard from Bruce Cassidy on that. We heard from Matt Grizzlick on that earlier today. And we mocked the idea that construction was somehow a part of it. And then what did we see, Artie? We saw a live shot of our garden studio, the Star Market broadcast studio at TD Garden.
Yep.
Where Felger Maz will be starting at 2 p.m. today.
Yep.
I don't know if we can show that again. I don't know if we have that ability.
Oh, my God. Jackhammering that thing.
The hard hats and the vests and the plastic drapes blowing.
The fact that
the doors are propped open.
Drapes, I don't know.
Guys walking in with 2x4s, bow, 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 on either side of their shoulder walking in. That let all the fresh air in. Why not? I tell you why not, because the ice sucks. And you're making it worse.
You got nail belt?
Close the doors.
Nail belts?
There's a lot of plastic drape, type dust, thing going on.
Oh, yeah, that keeps the humidity out.
There it is. We got a live look at it right now. If you're taking a look here on NBC Sports Boston, I don't see
Maz
it anymore. What happened to it?
Maz is biting his nails already. He's not even on air yet.
They turned the lights down in the background, but it was all lit up before.
It was all lit up, and there was the plastic
drapery everywhere.
The butcher paper laid down so you didn't track mud in. All that stuff. That's why we figured it out. All the improvements they're making to the garden.
You think Maz knows he's on
Maz
TV?
Maz is ready to go. No, he has no idea.
No clue.
Supermarket they're putting in the bottom, the concert venue, all that stuff. It's going to be great. Unless you got a playoff hockey game.
They put a supermarket in?
They're putting a supermarket in down there.
Maz, they told Maz he was going to be on. They didn't want to put him on unsuspecting, so he does know that the camera's on him.
Okay.
He doesn't want to give us a wave? Not even a little wave there, Maz?
Give us something.
Come on, give us a wave. Blink. Blink once or twice. Give us a wave. Yeah! Woo! Tony Maz, everybody.
He can't wait to get those receipts in for that garage down here.
Maz is going to talk to us.
He's got his headset on.
Yeah.
Maybe we could talk to him. That might not be possible. Let's not spring that on Jim at the last second.
Maz is bitching about traffic in Boston.
Here, we are?
9 a.m.
Hey, Maz, can you hear us?
Yeah, of course he could.
Okay.
How you doing?
Maz, have you seen the construction that was going on behind you earlier?
No, I wasn't paying attention. I was eating lunch across the street.
Well,
we have a theory as to why the ice has been so bad, and it has to do with the weather that's outside, but more importantly, all the construction that's going on. Anyone who's had work done in their home know that they prop that front door open, and then they're in and out 500 times. All that moist air, the humid air is coming into the garden. It's affecting the ice. It's the construction fault.
So obviously we're on a little bit of a delay here, Hardy. So you know what? I meant to say this on the air yesterday. I'll tell you the other thing I wouldn't rule out since you're talking about construction.
Yeah.
They've been doing a lot of work under this building in the last year or so.
Ooh.
So I don't know. You know, you dig into the earth, what happens? Heat comes out.
And the insulation is sort of gone, right? They doubled
it. I don't know. I'm just throwing crap against the wall. I'm just telling you, if it were me, I would say, well, what has made this year? First of all, the ice here has always been crap from what I understand.
Right.
But this year is especially worse. And I don't know. I mean, I look at it and say, well, what's different about this year? I don't know. You're digging a hole underneath the arena? Maybe that's got something to do with it.
He's not wrong. They doubled the size of the garage down
like Dig Dug.
And you got that molten lava core at the in the center of the earth just emanating heat up into the ice surface. Why not?
What do they call that? Radiant heat?
Sure.
Yes, that's right.
So, yes. I don't know. Brilliant. I mean, that's just my theory. You're digging under the building. What do you think's going to happen?
Rats. Like, a lot of rats.
So, yeah, could be rats. Yeah,
I like that,
could
too.
Could be any one of those things.
Nice work, Maz.
So, to answer, no, I'm, I minored in geology and science, which is not true, but I just thought I would say that.
How's that traffic today? You were bitching, too.
Oh my God, was it brutal! Joe, to answer your question, I had my doctor's my annual physical this morning, so I had to be down in town anyway. And I thought I'm not going to drive all the way home, so I went out and had lunch in town, and then I came over into the studio.
Mm.
These are the things that you're not allowed to talk about on your show.
Yeah, the human element,
right?
Well, no, that's right. We tried to keep it to business, Beetle.
Yeah.
But this was a – I did. I had my annual physical today. My doctor was very
that's
happy.
That's nice. Everything check out okay? You're good? Everything's working out there?
Yep. I did my – I don't have to have another colonoscopy for 4 more years because I had that.
Terrific.
Last year, so I'm all good to go.
Good news.
See, this is – and you're right, Beetle, because correct me if I'm wrong. The afternoon show, mostly sports.
Oh, yeah.
Is that accurate?
A lot of sports. They do a lot of sports there.
So this is the only way we can find out what's going on in our friends' lives.
That's nice to hear from you, Maz.
Yeah, good. Thanks, Maz.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to have a nice sort of, grab-ass conversation with you, Clint.
Every now and again, it's not so bad.
Who's on the draft board today? What positional group are you attacking?
So today we are doing, I believe we're doing safeties.
Safeties.
And I don't remember what else is on the list. It's safeties. I don't worry about what the actual position is, because all I'm doing is throwing the marker. So, but I believe today is safeties. We're not going to do quarterbacks until later in the week.
Mm. All right, Maz.
Draft is Thursday, pal.
Thanks for the update from the garden.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, Zoe.
See you, buddy.
Tony Mazzarotti reporting from TD Garden today, where Felger Maz will broadcast from starting at 2 o'clock. That's so
Hardy,
just 15 minutes from
Hardy
now.
Hardy said they're putting in a grocery store?
They are. Yeah. They are in the new building out front.
Where the hell are you going to park?
I just told you the garage has doubled in size.
But just for people who
saying, people who are going to get to pay to park, right?
Yeah, they don't expect people from Rentham to drive in and use that supermarket.
A lot of people live right there.
A lot of people live there, and people want to buy stuff. And I asked one of the Jacobs when they were on with us on the at the home opener. I said, "And is it true that you're going to encourage people to go into the market before games, buy all the fixings for sandwiches and whatnot,
chips and dip,
and bring that into the garden?" He said, "No, not quite to that extent, but it is a convenience factor even for people who might live in the North End. The wonderful little groceries and stuff there, but sometimes you just want a place where you can buy a box of Pop Tarts,
or whatever.
And for people there in the neighborhood, convenient to get
ride
in and out.
Choo choo train in.
Train station there, right?
Yeah,
you want to stop at the market before you take the train home? Boom, you do it right there."
Jim's getting his brakes fixed. He could take it to South Station. And that's North Station.
I think they got a 2,000-seat music venue going in there, too.
Shut up.
Separate from the garden. So the garden will still be, for big concerts.
I thought that was a Seaport.
Like House of Blues-size concert venue.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Seaport's bigger than 2,000. That's more sizable.
Yeah.
That's a great venue, too. There's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff.
Yeah, I think that area just lacks a supermarket. All the people that live over that way, there's no real... I mean, there's a Whole Foods that's not too far from there, but all people in the North End, they'll all shop there. All right, we'll get to today's takeaways on Zolak and Bertrand next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They give.
Give it to me.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, today's takeaway is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If your doctor recommends losing weight, take their advice, set up your consultation, any of the five Awaken 180 locations.
All right, we got some stuff to get through here in the takeaways, one of which would be a guy that called us today in Grafton, I believe, is where he is, Grafton. He's got a backyard rink. Now, backyard rinks, pretty popular, right?
Yeah. You put up the boards, you put the plastic down, you run the hose.
Up in Canada, I mean, those Canucks already, everybody has a backyard rink, you know. Put the ice down, it's cold.
All kinds of hockey.
All kinds of hockey being played out there in the backyard.
We used to do something in school called pocket hockey.
Yeah.
It was a little different game altogether.
Play a little tonsil hockey later on, you know, go to prom, make a moment, tonsil hockey, all that good stuff. He called and he has a backyard rink. We've heard of people doing that. I think Maz does a backyard rink.
But I don't think Maz has a Zamboni. He probably does.
I don't think he has a Zamboni like this guy does.
Riding mower.
Listen to him tell the story. Steve is in Grafton. Hi, Steve.
The ice tonight is going to be just as bad as it was the other night. The weather is terrible. It's not the ice crew itself that's the problem. It's the actual physical mechanical equipment in the building that's the problem. They use that deionized water that's what the other guy was saying, filtered water.
Yep.
That actually makes the ice stronger because it doesn't have any minerals. It freezes quicker. It's a filter system that they actually probably have in the building, obviously, and then they store it in tanks. And it's kind of like a Brita filter, only big. Take a cup of water out of your tap and take a cup of water out of your zero water filter, pour it in the freezer, and you'll see. One's clear and one will be cloudy. And the Zamboni has nothing to do with it. The dehumidifiers in the actual arena, that's the problem. A few years ago, they actually brought in an extra unit and parked it outside the garden or wherever and piped it in. And I would expect to see that again this year if they make it past.
So it's tonight. The weather outside. It's too humid.
Yeah, it's too humid. Yeah, and it's the ice temperature is what controls that.
I've been saying.
You can't turn it down to like zero, like you're saying, because ice has actually temperature. So 18 degrees is the actual temperature for an NHL game.
Oh, well, now we can put a number on it.
Yeah, it's 18. That's the number.
Steve, how do you know all this? Curious. How do you know so much about this?
I actually have the largest backyard rink group on Facebook.
Told you.
I actually have. I own my own Zamboni and chiller system and all that.
Chiller system, Zamboni. He's got all of it.
Where do you park it? I'm like, would you leave it out in the yard?
Garage? Shed? I don't know.
That thing's fitting in a shed?
No, I don't know if it's a full-size one.
What, you got mini Zambonis out there?
Yeah, there's got to be.
It's probably like a riding lawnmower.
Mini Zamboni.
He's probably got a squeegee and he just sticks it on his mower and throws water out with a bucket.
No, I think I've seen these. I think they're like push Zambonis. Jim's got a plug-in one.
Yeah. Jim. Yeah. Plugs it in.
Jim's old man.
Is it a plug-in or a recharge?
Father-in-law gave it to him.
20 volt.
How many extension cords, Jim?
I bought the 100 footer.
100 footer.
100 footer.
Oh, there's some homemade ones using a red wagon.
Dude, I went through two extension cords last year because of the cutters that Beetle was saying that you wouldn't let him, and I cut my own extension cord like twice right in the middle of the job.
Oh, that's a pain in the
ass. That must have felt good.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, you don't feel a shock, dummy.
Also today, we treated the Toronto Maple Leafs as if they were, what's the team?
Remember the Titans? Yeah, the Titans.
Treated the Maple Leafs like they were the Titans, and Zoe reenacted parts of the movie.
Oh.
It could be something good has begun.
Oh, hey, Matthews.
Oh, officer.
When you get the puck, put it on your stick and shoot it in.
Heck of a game you boys played last night.
You guys are doing a fantastic job.
Thank you, folks. Best defense I've seen in 20 years.
Tell Babcock and those boys, we behind them tonight.
Tell that coach yours, keep up the good work.
Thank you, Officer A.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that.
pretty close.
Not bad.
Not bad. Not terrible.
Do we do another one too? We debunked the Pauly photograph also that he was bitching about. Pauly said he was holding a jacket. He was so defiant that when he saw me at a team hotel 3 days before the Super Bowl, he was actually holding a jacket, which we went back and got the picture. He had his jacket on.
Right.
And he had a white cup in his hand.
He most certainly was not holding the jacket. He was wearing the jacket. It was not a yellow jacket. There was yellow inside the jacket. It was actually navy blue. And he most certainly did have a cup in his hand, although...
You can understand why I thought it was a Dunkin' Donuts cup. I didn't really
It's a white cup. It's not a Dunkin' cup.
It looks like it's a medium soda from, say, Subway or McDonald's.
Something along those lines.
Like that. Yeah, like one of those type of cups. But, like, quickly, you could say, well, okay. Didn't mean he had soda in it.
Yeah. I don't know what he had in it. Yeah. But you were right, so.
I was right.
You were absolutely right.
I was holding the jacket.
So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
There is something called a Nice Rink Nice Ice Resurfacer you can buy on Amazon.
Oh, nice. That's nice.
It's kind of like a handheld. It essentially looks like a glorified rake that you hook the hose up to.
Yeah, squeegee.
Yeah, you slide that across. Yeah, it's $280.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll just use the hose.
See, the way he's talking, I'm thinking he's got the Zamboni. You're like,
yeah, I'd use the hose and like a squeegee.
Bit on a ride.
Right?
Yeah. Here we go.
How about that guy, though? He's got refrigeration systems there.
Wasn't he going to send us pictures or something?
I didn't get it. I've been waiting for it.
Biggest backyard rink in all of the Commonwealth.
Hey, got to check my Facebook page. All right, Bruins 5-2. 5-2 winners tonight.
3-2 OT.
Hardy? Pick them. Who are you taking?
Oh, Bruins 15-9.
It's not going to happen.
It's probably accurate. Yep. Best guess I've heard today. Whatever happens tonight, we'll be talking about it tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Damn right.
We'll be talking about it. So go Bruins. Brad Stevens tomorrow at 11:20. Felger Mass coming your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Mel. Nobody's perfect.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Our Star Market Garden Studios for another Bruins Toronto Maple Leaf.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.